I want to read from Jonah, the first chapter. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh. That was the capital of the Assyrian nation, which that day was the superpower of the day. That great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now that sounds like us. God says, go to Nineveh and tell them that their wickedness has finally come to God's attention. They can put up with it no longer. And so he says, Jonah, go and tell those people that if they don't repent, I'm going to wipe them out in 40 days. So Jonah goes in the opposite direction, takes off, heads for the sea. Now that sounds like us. Amen? But Jonah rose up to flee, not only away from Nineveh, but away from God. How many here have ever fled from God? Amen. I mean, when God calls you, it's really exciting, you know, and it's bless me. But when it's, now I want you to do this for me, it's forget it. You know, I don't want to love her, forgive him, do that, give up this, go there, wake up when you tell me, and so on. I don't want him to lord my life. I just want him to be my Savior. I don't want him to be my Lord. I mean, then he would be God. So, I would like to stay being God. I would just like him to help me to be a God, that's all. But he says, no, Jonah, I don't want you to do that. I want you to go to Nineveh. So he, of course, knew what Jonah would do. He went down to Joppa, and there he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. We always have to pay. And went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But he didn't tell anyone when he was on the boat that I'm escaping from God. A lot of us are walking around in life not telling people that we are running away from God. Amen? Some of us have run since we were little kids. We knew there was a God, but we've run from the guy because we probably saw some Christian somewhere and said, oh my, you know, am I going to look like that? Do I have to do what they do? Do I have to look like, you know, some sullen, sad, depressed person or whatever? But I'm going to tell you something. Jonah didn't know God, though he was a covenant child, though he was covenanted with God, though he knew that God was holy and merciful and mighty, though he knew who God was, yet he didn't know him. There are some of us here who know God but don't really know him. We've got the wrong picture of God. We misunderstood. And I would say 95%, I'm probably low, of Christians do not have the right picture of God. Even though they're saved, even though they've come to God, they still see him as a holy God who's full of vengeance against the wicked. Now, you saw right here, he said, here's what he said, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it for their wickedness. Now, he didn't say, because they are so wicked, I want you to tell them they're dead. He said, their wickedness. I want you to cry against their wickedness. Did you hear the difference? There's one thing of you, there's another thing of your wickedness. You are not your wickedness. You do the wickedness. But a parent, a good father, a good mother, always wants to distinguish between the child and what they've done and say, you I love, but I'm spanking you for the sin you've done or for what you didn't do, what I told you to do. And so God distinguishes between the sin and the sinner. And so do we, of course. When someone sins against us, we don't get mad at them. We get mad only at their sin, right? We never get mad at the people. We only get mad at them. We pray with them. We go, you know, what you have just done, I just want to bless you. And then join with you against the sin that's come against you. Right? Isn't that our attitude? Wrong. Yeah, that's not our attitude. Our attitude is, you've sinned, you get it, that's it. We are like our gods. In other words, whatever we do shows what kind of a God we have. If we respond to people when they've done wickedly, for example, our culture right now is wicked beyond measure. And it's going full blast, you know, full bore downhill all the way to go into utter wickedness in such a way you can't even say this is my country anymore. This is my government, my nation. I don't even recognize it. Their values are so far from mine. The television and all the media, that's so far from where I am. The way they think, the way they act, the values they have, the vision they have for America and so on, for the world. It's so far from me, I can't believe it. That wickedness that makes your blood boil, because you can see what they're doing. They're just destroying everyone around them, and they'll end up destroying themselves. That wickedness is the evil, not the people. It isn't the people that do it. Those are not the one that God wants to kill. God wants to save them. Amen? And so we love them. We just hate their wickedness, right? We just want to see the culture, the government, the business community, whoever's out there, we just want to see them come to Jesus, right? We love it when they come to the Lord. We don't want to see them get it. Because, you see, the way you do it in the media today is you demonize groups or persons so that you can hate them legitimately. And you're next. I mean, I don't know if you can feel it, but you're next. The decent, honest, Christ-loving, God-fearing person is the next one in line. Once we do away with all the weirdos and the strangers and so on, they always go after them first because they're easy to get. Everybody can hate them. But you're not just hating what they do, you're hating them. You want to get them, eliminate them. Be careful, because you're next, and then there'll be no one to stand up for you. Every wicked dictator has learned that lesson, how to do it. You first go after the homosexuals, you go after the criminals, you go after the people that nobody else cares about or likes or wants, the bad guys. How many know there's a lot of bad guys out there? How many know there's a lot of bad guys out there? There's no bad guys in here. Well, there's a big mistake we make. God says all have sinned. Even if you're born again, filled with the Spirit, walking with God, you are still wicked beyond measure. Not only was, past, but still is, are now. Right? You did it just seconds ago, minutes ago. I mean, it doesn't matter how close you are to God. The closer you are to God, the more you see your vanity, your hypocrisy, your wickedness, your treachery. Amen? I appreciate Katie coming forward before taking communion, saying, I don't want to take communion because I think I've got sin in my life. And I know you can't just partake of communion and get away with that. If you've got something in your life, you're against somebody or someone's got something against you, you got to get it taken care of before you can take communion. Amen. See, discern the body. Now, the body is not his body, Christ's body. The body is us. See, discern the body and say, hey, I got something against somebody or someone's got something against me. I'm not right. I don't want to go to Kenya. I don't want to go there because I'm not clean. I can't take communion. I don't want to be with God until I get this thing taken care of. Well, you take care of it in seconds, but the beauty is we are all wicked beyond measure. And you can't be a missionary unless you are. So, Katie, you're all right. The difference between us and the world is not that we are nice and clean and sweet and they are wicked and nasty and vain and so on. The difference is that we've been forgiven. That's all. And they have too. But we accepted it. We said, well, yeah, I believe. But that wasn't a great credit on your part to accept it. It was because you were such a mess. And somehow the gospel got to you on the day that you were messed up, and then you jumped out and said, I'll take it. You were so desperate that day, you took it. Well, if you would preach the gospel to the wicked out there, they would buy it too. Hello? Because there's no difference. And if you preach it self-righteously, they're not going to listen. If you come to them superior saying, I can see you poor benighted slobs need help, they're not going to receive it. Now, you don't say those words, but they feel that. They feel like you Christians are coming to us as though we were no good and you are better than thou. No, you have to convey to them immediately, you guys have done nothing compared to me. We Christians have sinned more than the wicked in the world. More. Why more? Because we had the light and hid it. Because we knew the good news and put it out wrong. because we were not superior and we pretended like we were. They didn't even do that. Even the wicked in the world didn't do that. They have more humanity than we have. Hello? I don't think everybody caught that. The wicked out there in the world, whom we despise and hate what they do, yet they have more humanity than we do. I'm going to tell you, in a test, it'll come out that you, with all of your self-righteousness and piety, are wicked beyond measure. The crusades that we carry on, the inquisitions that we do, internally and externally, we don't always show it, but it's there. And they feel it, and they know it. There are many people wanting to come to this church. They can't because of Christians. Christians keep them away. They say, I feel uncomfortable among those people. I don't feel like I'm that good, or I don't feel like I could be as phony as they are. Hello, there's a lot of people out there that want to come to God, but they don't want to be phony, and they don't want to be a bunch of phony people. I don't mean anybody here, but in the church across the street, they're like that. So here's Jonah, is the top dog, one of the great guys, you know. In fact, he's so great that God talks to the guy. He says, hey, Jonah, I got a job I want you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh, the capital city, 120,000 people living in it. That was a big city in those days, huge city, biggest city in the world in those days. I want you to go there, and I want you to tell them, stop sinning or I'll destroy the city. Jonah said, goody, goody, goody. Because he was hoping if he went there and he preached to them and they didn't listen, because he knew those Ninevites were corrupt. If he goes and preaches, they won't even listen. Because he talked to a lot of corrupt Gentiles, you know, non-Jewish people. He talked to a lot of them. They didn't listen. He said, you know, I'd love it. I'd love it for God to do it. I think I'll just won't give the message, wait the 40 days, and let him get it. If God told me to do it, and it's all dependent on me, and if I don't go, they'll get slaughtered, and it'll delight me no end to see those wicked people wiped off the face of the earth. How many would like to see that? Wouldn't you like to see the wicked wiped off the face of the earth? Wouldn't that be exciting? The problem is, you are among them. You're no better. You are no different. This message is hard to get. I tell you, even if I preach it and you all laugh, it doesn't matter. You still, there's something inside of you that says, but I'm not that bad. But I'm not that wicked. I know, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I remember I used to be wicked. You remember in those days? You are just exactly the same. The only difference is Jesus. The only difference is Jesus. The only difference is Jesus. Anyway, here's Jonah. Now see, you'll judge Jonah right away. Oh man, if I'd have been Jonah, I wouldn't have done it. Yes, you would. You'd do it all the time. We always run from the presence of God. We're not comfortable in God's presence. Ever gotten in God's presence? It's very uncomfortable. Hi, God. Hallelujah. We don't know what to say next. How many spend 3, 4, 5 hours a day in the presence of God? No, we're not comfortable there. It's not comfortable being in his presence. Because I want guidance and he wants character. You know, I want him to do something and he wants to do something in me. You know, I want to get something and he wants to give me something. You know, we're always off base. Or I said, well, I just can't hear God, or, you know, something. I asked him, should I move to Fort Worth or Dallas? And he just didn't say. Well, you're not going to get guidance, because what he wants to do is whack you up and knock you down and kill you. It's what he's trying to do. And you're trying to find out if you should go to Fort Worth or Dallas, you know. And he's trying to say, I would like to kill you if I could, please. I want to kill your flesh, you know. And you're going, well, let's skip that. Should I go to Dallas or Fort Worth, you know. We don't want to clean up our flesh first. We would rather move first, get the job first, marry the right person first. We want to do everything but what God wants. Amen? Amen. So we skip over all God's stuff and go for our own things. Natural. Everyone has done it. That's why this is a good church. Now, so Jonah's running away, even pays his own fare. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. So Here he goes. He's running out from Jerusalem. You got to know something of the map here. Here's the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and here's the Dead Sea, and here's Jerusalem right here. And so he travels down to Joppa, okay? And he gets on a boat, and he heads out for the sea. Gets on his boat and heads out for the sea. There he goes. And Jonah is, he's having a good time. Nineveh's up here. Here's Nineveh up here, this big city. It takes 3 days to walk through it. It's a huge thing, 120,000 people. That was big in those days. And so instead of going the mission of the Lord, this was the Lord's mission, A, that was the mission, do it God's way. He decides, I'm going to run away the opposite direction I can and sail way over here, you know. I think it was a good time to go to Italy. I think I'll buy some leather shoes, you know. He's on his way out. But the problem is that he's not just running from Jerusalem, he's running from God. And so God has a little camp out there, and he says, well, where are you going? Hey, oh, Jonah, you know, and Jonah's gone. And so God says, you know, God is just kind of leaning on his elbow, you know, well, if Jonah won't listen to me, I'm going to make a wind. And so God begins to blow his wind, and all of a sudden this big wind comes up and begins to slow him down. Have you ever been slowed down when you were trying to get away from God? And God's going to slow him down. And so all of a sudden the waves begin to beat, you know. And it isn't long before the guys in the boat say, this is a storm. We are in the midst of a storm. It's scary. You're not scared of storms until they start to happen. You know, they're not really scary when you watch them on Idaho or whatever. But when you see that red and green stuff coming over your area, it's like, whoa, and the tornadoes and that, it scares you. You know, you go out and you start to, anyway, we do. We go out and get all the stuff, start to load it on everything, you know, make sure whenever those big things hit, they have to go through about 10 other things first, you know. You pile all that stuff on all your cars, you know, your gods, you know, out there. And, you know, don't hit this house. Okay, now that's good. But God has his little committee out there blowing on the guy, and so the boat, you know, just, it won't go. And so here he is trying to get away from God. God put a call on his life to go up and help these people. And Jonah didn't like them. He didn't like them. Jews didn't like non-Jews. You know, they had their laws and their rules. If you didn't do it their way, they didn't like you. We have our laws and rules. If you don't believe the doctrine the way I teach it, or, you know, if you don't have candles when we have them, or crosses on the back wall, or stained glass windows, or steeples on the roof, or whatever, you're not a church, or you're not a Christian, or whatever. Amen? Praise God. We've confused you so much here, you don't even know what a Christian is. You know, it's just, you know, you're not clear. Well, that's good, because it's harder to argue. You see, we don't get all mixed up. Are you premillennial or amillennial or postmillennial or amillennial or whatever? You know, we don't even know. Hello. Now, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I mean, this thing was tough. Then the mariners were afraid. So all of a sudden, you know, they started saying, it's not a problem. We can take care of this. We can handle this. And here's what Jonah does. The minute, I tell you, this is so real. The minute you escape from God and you get into the boat and you're on your way away, you start to rest and feel good. And you just get real tired, and you start to feel so good getting away from God, and you just fall asleep. And that is it's such a good feeling to get away from God, because he keeps you jacked up all the time. You never know what he's going to do. You never know where he's going to send you, or what's going to happen. He continually makes you, you know, he blows where he wills. You never know what's coming next with God. Might have to give away your savings, or, you know, go on a trip, or help somebody out, or you never know what he's going to do with you. Amen? You might have to go to Africa. You know, that would be a mission that God could send you on, and it's scary to do what God says. So we try to postpone that. I mean, not many of us are saying, oh, God, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. Just tell me I'm eager to go. When's the last time you prayed that? Well, the last time you prayed that is the last time you prayed that. You don't want to pray that way. You don't trust the guy. You know he will do something awful. Yes, marry this person. Oh, no. You know, we're just afraid that if we really just say, God, you just pick the person. You know, just whatever you want. No, we don't trust God. Now, God, now look, here's the deal. Now, here's what I'm looking for. Now, just you get to decide, but here are the choices right here, you know. And you know, we just feel we have to help God out because he's not too smart. We don't trust him. Anyway, these mariners were afraid, and they cried out every man to his God. Now, none of them believed in the God. They just believed in all these other gods that were made up. And they cast forth the wares that were in the ship in the sea. When the world throws out its goods, you know this is serious. When they're throwing out the wares, I mean, this is how they paid for the trip, was all the cargo they had on there. But this ship, this wind was so big, they knew, my gosh, we got to lighten this ship because all the goods we've stored in here that's going to make us money in some place, we got to throw it out. I mean, this is life itself. Forget profit. How many know that when profit is a high motive, but you get down to preservation, preservation's first? You know, forget profit. You know, if you're an investor, the first thing you want is not how much profit are we going to make. That's all smoke and mirrors. What we really want to know is what happens if this thing goes bust and the worst happens? How are you going to preserve my original capital? How am I going to get that back? Not how much money am I going to make. No smart investor cares about how much money I'm going to make. They don't care that you're going to make 10 gazillion, gazillion. They don't care about all that. They just want to know is, well, yeah, but how are you going to protect the money I'm giving? Oh, that's not a problem. Yeah, that is a problem. I want to know first, what's the protection? What's the risk factor here? And we're the same. We don't want to know about abundant life. We just want to stay alive first. Forget abundant, you know, just let me live, you know. And then later, now we're into quality of life. Now, you know, let's see now. Now that I'm living, you know, the poor are into bread. The middle class are into security. But the rich are into power because they're not into bread. They got plenty of bread and they got lots of security. So what they want is they want to play another game, but the poor don't play that game. And the middle class doesn't play the power game. And they're not into bread either. They're into securing themselves, lots of insurance and lots of, you know, deals and so on and so forth. Now, God's going to mess all that up. Pretty soon here, these guys throwing all their stuff out and nothing's working. And they cried out to their gods, oh, Baal, you know, oh, whoever, lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay fast asleep. I love it. Christians are sleeping. The church today is sleeping. The world's in a mess, and the churches are sleeping. The pastors are just giving ho-hum sermons, you know, just trying to, you know, maintain their little deals and you know, filling up the coffers and beefing up the outfits and so on, while the world's going to hell. Hello! You know, it's amazing. And the pastors just come out every week and do their tricks. You know, and the people clap and go home, and it's about the same. They still divorce. They still commit adultery. They still don't save the lost, and on and on. Okay? And they're not in love with Jesus. They're not really worshiping God. They're not getting to know God. They're not getting all the sin out of their lives. I'm not talking about you. Well, maybe one or two of you. But, you know, I mean, it's just business as usual. Yeah, we'll be here next week. See you next week. As long as you pay up, that's the big deal. So, you know, these guys were thinking, you know, hey, let's cry out. We're in deep trouble. We are in desperate trouble. Our gods are not coming through. So all of a sudden they said, come on, Hank, cry out to your God. I am. Cut yourself a little more or something. Come on, get serious here. Because the world was in trouble, and the world today is in trouble, and they know it, and they're looking to the church, and they can't find it. So where's the church? Oh, they're down in the hold of the ship, fast asleep. Oh, really? What does the church have to say about all this stuff? Nothing. They don't have anything to say. We're just carrying on in our private little deals. Because religion is private. It's not a public thing, you see. Are you hearing me? In Russia, there's freedom of religion, just not in public. You see, in California, you can have freedom of religion. You just can't do it in the neighborhood. You just can't get out of your house or out of your church or whatever. You got to keep it contained. Don't embarrass the rest of us. But Jesus said, go ye therefore. Whoa, I mean, that's a scary message. Go out, and wherever you go, as you go, I want you to baptize people. That's public. I want you to baptize them. I want you to teach them to observe everything I told you to do. This is messing up the world. And the Roman Empire saw that, and they said, hey, stop these Christians. And the Jews, who were the enemies of the gospel, said, yeah, I'll turn them in. I'll tell you who they are. There are always enemies of the gospel that's going to turn you in. But if you just go to sleep in the back of the boat and run away from God, no one's going to bother you until the trouble comes. Now, when the storm breaks out, suddenly we go looking for the Christians. It's a witch hunt. Hey, who's causing this? Who's causing all this trouble? What are you Christians doing? And Jonah wakes up from his sleep, and, you know, he's so comfortable because running away from God feels good. When you finally get God off your back, it's a relief. You can just go to the mall and, you know, lust and stuff. It's hard going to church all the time, praying all the time, worshiping all the time, being good all the time, cleaning up your life all the time, you know. That's hard. Every once in a while, you want to turn on the TV. You sit there and, you know, go for it and just relax a little. Hello? You know what I'm saying? Some of you who are married to someone who's real religious, you know, and you're not, it wears on you. You know, you just hope someday someone will just swear or drink or do something to get normal. Have you ever done that? Am I in the right group? You know, I mean, every once in a while, you just got to take a vacation from God. Just get away. Okay. And you're thinking right again. Because you get kind of crazy when you try to get this God stuff. Because you try everything God told you to do and it doesn't work. These are really not good messages to send out. So the shipmaster, verse 6, came to him and he said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call on your God, if so be that God will think upon us, lest we perish." And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come on, let's cast lots that we may know which one of us has caused this evil." So they cast lots and it fell on Jonah. Isn't that interesting? In the end, when the world wants to know who the culprits are, it's us. We're the culprits. Now, didn't you Christians say, you know, isn't it written down that you're supposed to be the one helping the world and all that? Well, where are you doing it? I mean, what's going on here? Right today, they don't care about us, but tomorrow when they get in trouble, they're going to go, "You guys are the ones causing all the problems. You are keeping the New World Order back. You are your rules and your laws and your visions and all this stuff. You're ruining our world. We could go on and do all kinds of stuff without y'all. And we're no longer the decent, honest, average, you know, everyday folk. We have become a snare for those who want to lead the world in another direction." And so Christians are bogging everything down. We still got the vote, you see. So they don't like us because they don't get anything done with us. We keep bogging it down. Hello? And yet there's something wrong with our religion. Even though we have the truth about God, there's something wrong that's not quite right. Here's Jonah, a covenant child, and yet he really doesn't know the loving, wonderful Father and have a message for these guys on the ship. He has nothing to say. He has no part to play. They don't need his word. So they finally wake the guy up. "Okay, get up here and call on your God." Okay, now Jonah's calling. You know, but Jonah's not really doing it sincerely because he doesn't want to call on God because he's been running from God. And when you are not right with God, it's hard to worship God. It's hard to cry out to him. Especially if you don't feel the storms that bad, you won't. When the storm gets real bad, you will. But Jonah knew what the storm was, so he went, "This is a bad storm, but I'm not crying out to the guy. I even know why this is here. I know what this is all about. This is me. It's all due to me. I'm the one causing all the problems here." How many know we're the cause? Do you know that? Do you know that the blessings of the world are because of us and the curses on the world are because of us? Because we have the key. We have the light. We are the ones that are causing all the problems. Either we are the solution and the answer and the blessing, or we're not, in which case we're the guilty ones. Because we had the answer. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, of course, the world, when it's on its own, is just going to do wickedly. But that's just normal. They're just doing their normal thing. Each one of us was normal once, weren't we? Weren't you once normal? Wicked, vain, you know. And don't you have daily reminders? Amen. I see it in you. If you don't, come up after church here. I'll show it to you. Okay. Anyway, so he said, "Hey, wake up. Get here." And they cast the lots, and they said, "Well, let's find out which guy's God is not coming through, because none of us are getting an answer, and who's the guilty one here?" Well, it finally falls to Jonah, and right away they said to him, "Hey, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil's come upon us. What's your occupation? Where do you come from? Where's your country? What people are you from?" And he said, listen to his answer, "Well, I'm a Jew, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven." Huh. I fear the Lord God. The guy's running from the guy. And I fear the Lord God of heaven. That's a way of saying I worship the God of heaven and the sea. I mean, what is this sea problem? Isn't our God the God of the sea? Doesn't our God have storms? Isn't our God the rain God? Are you hearing me? It'd be different if the Indians were out there, woo, 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 you know, and the rains don't come or come, you know. But hey, our God made the rain, made the mountains, made everything. We've got the real God, right? Well, where is he? How come he isn't protecting us? Why is he not for us? Hello! Could the sin be with us? Could we be at fault? Not a chance. Not a chance. We're the ones that call on his name every Sunday. We fear the Lord. So here's Jonah giving this pious answer. I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the maker of heaven and the sea. Praise God. I'm the God of the land and the sea. And he made the sea. Then the men were exceedingly afraid. And they said unto him, why have you done this? For the men knew now that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. He said, I know why this has happened. My God controls the waters right here in the Mediterranean Sea. If you'll just realize it, it's because I've sinned. I've run away from God. Because I've sinned against him, the sea is now tempestuous and we're going to be destroyed. And they say, well, what can we do? Now, immediately these guys show more Christian love than Jonah. So they said unto him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said, well, take me up and cast me into the sea. Then the sea will be calm to you, for I know that for my sake this tempest has come upon you. I tell you, that's what we need to say to the world. We are the cause. And all you got to do is throw us out, and the storm will go away. The devil will stop, and you know everything will be okay. Because God's always after us. Not after the world. He's not punishing the world right now. Not after the world. He's not after all their wickedness and all that stuff that you're concerned about. He's after you. He's after us. The troubles are coming because of us. Because we have not repented. It's not because the wicked are out there causing storms and stuff. We have not repented. Hello. And he can tell even today we're not that troubled. Jonah wasn't that troubled. He will be in a minute, but he isn't at this point. The storms and everything, he just said, oh, throw me into the sea. Here's these non-religious guys. They don't even love God. And they say, no, let's row harder. Wow. They're going to save this guy. They showed mercy to Jonah. They should have done what he said, just toss the guy over. They said, no, let's stand with our brother here. They showed brotherly love. These wicked, worldly, nasty people. Hello? The church doesn't deserve it. And here's the wicked world saying, well, let's be brothers. Let's help this guy. Okay, just sit down. Get an oar. Let's all row together. Let's all be one. That's the world's solution. Okay, so here they're going. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. Hey, let's try to get to the land and save us all. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee. Now they're crying to Jonah's God. Okay, God of Jonah, who's making all this happen, we know this guy's no good, but don't let us perish because of this guy. Don't lay his blood on us because we are about to throw this guy over. And please don't be mad at us because we're not wanting to be wicked. You hear this? This is the wicked. This is the wicked world saying, we're going to throw him over because the sea won't stop and you obviously are behind it. And we're going to forget our gods. They don't have any power at all. But you're the power God. And what we're going to have to do is kill him. And God, don't get mad at us for doing that. Is one of your guys. Hello? Do you see what I'm saying? This is the wicked world acting more religious than the religious people. It's amazing. Sometimes the children of this world are wiser than the children of the kingdom of God. And so they said, for Lord, you have done as it pleased you. So they took up Jonah and they threw him into the sea. And then the sea immediately stopped from raging. Ha ha. There it is. And the world was impressed. Wow. That's a God. You know what? Those people all that day were converted to God. They said, we don't believe in Jonah, but we believe in the God of Jonah. We don't believe in Christians, but we believe that the God they're talking about is a real God. That's real witnessing, where they reject you, the messenger, but still take the message because God himself is bigger than Jonah. Thank God that he's bigger than us, because many times we have carried the gospel and we weren't, you know, really doing it right. But God still got the job done and we took the credit for it. Wow. You know, that person, I'm amazed. You know, I've been in much sin, but still I witnessed and they came to the Lord. A lot of people say that of ministers. Well, that minister's committing adultery and he's, you know, running off of the funds and whatnot, but he's bringing a lot of people to salvation, so it must be okay. It's not okay. No, you are wrong. And I tell you what, sooner or later, that minister will get justice from a holy God, not to destroy him, but to destroy his rebellion, to save him, to get Jimmy Swaggart to get on his face before God and say, God, it's not the people that worked with me that turned me in. It's not the world that turned me in. It's not my sins and stuff like that. It's me. I'm the one who wasn't repentant. I was a big braggart. I was a boastful, arrogant braggart. I need to get before you and humble myself. I don't know you. I don't know you. My Assembly of God theology was wrong. There are demons, and Christians can have them. Are you hearing me? And so he finally, that day, forget the theology of the Assembly of God. He finds, I don't believe in that. Because I know there's a demon of lust in me, on me. And he repented and said, I remember some brothers that I know went to him. He said, brother, you have a demon. And his theology, previously, they wouldn't have believed him. But at this point, he said, well, you know, I don't know a lot because obviously I'm on the bottom of the heap right now. Go over that again. Maybe that is my problem. And they set the guy free. I don't even know him. I don't even follow him. I don't know anything about him. All I know is that's what's taking place. God wants you. He wants to bless you. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. He's not trying to destroy anybody. So the fish comes along not to punish Jonah, but to preserve him. Because the guy goes down to the bottom of the sea, blah, 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 and he gets tangled up in the reeds down there, and he's thinking to himself, well, maybe I'm a good swimmer. You know, and he can't go anywhere. And now he gets real. Now the guy, his feet are caught in the reeds, and he's getting all matted up and caught in there, you know. And now he's thinking to himself, you know, I think I'm in trouble. I think within seconds, I'm done. So he cries out to God. But when he got in trouble, he remembered God. And he said, you know, it's not their sins or whatever. I got to cry out to God. And he cried out to God, God, preserve me, save me, help me. You know, when you get desperate, you just don't even know how to pray. You just pray. And all of a sudden, you know you're real. God, I mean, there's no hope now. There's no hope. And, you know, the fishes are swimming by him. And, you know, he's just finished for. He's finished. It's over. There's no way. Not even God can help him now. It's over. But he cries out to God anyway. Just throws up a prayer. God, I know what this is all about. This is all about not destroying me. It's all about you want me to trust you. And I'm critical and judgmental of those wicked Ninevites. I am better. But you know, right now I'm in trouble. Help. 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 You know? And so finally God rescues the guy. He sends a big fish along. Probably a sperm whale or a shark or something. Sends this thing along. Eats the guy up. And he stays in there 3 days and three nights. There's another whole message on this next time. But it's all about, you know, how Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. This is literal. This is history. This is not just a story. But as the guy's in there running from God, I want to just close with this because there's a lot more to this story. But just to say, Katie, you know, if you're going to be a missionary, the one thing that happens when God calls you is you got to be beat up first. You know, it's really neat. Pray, you know, God hath called me to Kenya or whatever. And that's exciting. That's wonderful. And everybody, you know, gives you $10 and so on. And God bless you. And we put oil on you and all the minutes, you know. And you just feel good about it. But the truth is, you can't go in strength. You have no message to the Ninevites. You have no message to anyone unless you are lower. You have to be down at the bottom. Otherwise, you have nothing to say to the world. You have to be so beat up. You know, we don't want to be beat up. We always go, gee, you know, I wish I weren't so beat up. Well, that's all you have. That's the basis of your message. Are you hearing me? All you have is, the only thing that's going to make anyone listen to you is that you came through hell. That's why Jesus is our Savior. He went through hell and rose up and said, I made it. Not a bad deal. You can make it too. You too can do that. Well, that was good news. That's the first God we ever had that got beat up like that. This is a God we could hate and kick and spit on and bite and rebel from, and he still loved us. That's a God I want. When you go as a superior missionary, as one who's strong, when you're sent to somebody and you go in strength, you're not a missionary. You're just a judge. And that's all Jonah wanted to be, was he wanted to go and judge those people. He didn't want to tell them about the love of God. He wanted to tell them about the holiness of God that hates sin. Yeah, but if God hates sin, he hates all sin. Hello? So here you are, you go to your family, and you don't have to say words. They just know you're judging them. They just know right away when you walk in, we can't swear now. We can't even have a drink in the house. We're going to have to probably have a prayer. You know, you just ruined everybody's fun. Half the programs are out, you know, I mean, whatever. You have ruined life for those people. They don't believe in God, but they're looking for a little bit of life. And you come in and take what little bit of life they possibly have and snatch it from them, you wicked. And you don't actually say it, but you're kind of saying it to them. They know they're not where you are. And they don't feel they'll ever rise to that height. They don't feel they're tall enough, big enough, clean enough, good enough. They just feel like they're weak and no good. And you're coming in to beat them down even further. You're putting guilt on them. Hello. Now, you don't mean to do that. You tell them all about the love of God. Now, you're going to hate the God of love. But they don't hear that. What they hear is, I need. You know, they just hear that you're judging them, that somehow they're missing out and they're worthless. But I tell you, if you've just been beat up and you go and tell them, boy, I've just been serving God and he just ruined me for 6 years and da-da-da-da-da, they're going to listen. Oh, really? They want to hear somebody that's been beat up and that made it. Not how 1, 2, 3, I did this and I did that. All the books that Christians write, they're always about that. Do these 6 steps and you'll get an airplane or something. You know, that they don't want to hear that. That is fun. That is a lot of fun. I mean, I wanted all that. Everybody wants all that. But the truth is, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And it didn't work that way for anybody who wrote the book either. They just didn't want to tell you that part. Now, Jonah, when he finally went to Nineveh, he had something to say. And the only reason they listened to the guy was because he was believable. Because God had said ahead of time, I want you to go, and you're going to go. No matter what you try to do, I will stop you and make you go. Isn't it good to have a God that can begin a thing and then finish it using you who are rebellious, who don't cooperate? I tell you, God is love. God is so loving. He didn't punish Jonah by putting him in the belly of the whale. Now get in there. No, he was saving the guy. He was about to be reeded up. You know, and he was going to glub his last glub. And here God preserves him. Has he never done that to you? Well, you should have been destroyed, but this whale came along, not to hurt you, but to save you. And when we get in trouble, we always say, oh, God is beating us up. This is an act of God. God is punishing me. I know why I had this car accident. God is punishing me. Why? Why? That's not God. God isn't punishing you. God doesn't punish. He doesn't do that. Yes, he could chastise you only to bless you. Whatever it is, don't talk about what he's doing. Talk about why he's doing it. He's doing it to bless you. Whatever it is, it's a good thing. Not, oh, you know, serving God is hard at times. Well, nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear that, you know, hey, I got beat up, but you know, it turned out great. You know, that's what they want to hear. Oh, well, because that's real. And when they say you can make it going through all the same snares and troubles they've gone through, that's a God they could listen to. God loves you. God loves you first. He doesn't love the Ninevites first. He loved Jonah first. Amen. He saved him. He preserved him. He showed mercy through the heathen. Then he showed mercy through the whale. And then, you know, he just, everywhere he showed mercy. The guy even went to Nineveh and they didn't get killed. He got his message out and they bought it. And that's, of course, what he hated. Because we don't like bad people to get off. People that are no good, we like them to get it, don't we? Relatives of ours, husbands, wives. We like people to get it. I tell you, when you drive by and you see a minister who has a nice big church, lots of cars in the parking lot. My thought is not, bless them. So, and we can hide it so well. A lot of you people are doing a good job. You look nice. But I tell you, God is such a loving Father. It's not up to Joan. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. I can't make a promise, God, I'll be a faithful missionary or something. No, I'm not faithful in anything. But God is. My faith is not in my faithfulness. It's in God's. My faith is not my faith. I don't believe in faith. I believe in God being faithful. That's what my faith is in, His faithfulness. Praise God. So don't worry what you don't have. You've got it all if you've got God. If God be for you, who can be against you? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the message of Jonah. Of course, there's lots more here. But we just thank you, Lord, for this message that our God is a merciful, loving, forgiving, gentle, precious God. And the heathen, the lost, the outsiders, the non-Christian, the non-Jew, the Gentiles, the goyim, the bad guys need to hear that. They need to know that he's mad at sin, but not mad at them. They need to know the only difference between them and us is not sin. We all do that. The difference is faith. Faith because God's good, not because he's mad at us. He's mad at the devil and sin that would destroy us. He wants to save those guys in the boat. He wants to save Jonah. He wants to save Nineveh. He desires not the death of any sinner. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are such a God. That's the God I need. That's the God we need. We need a God that sees all of our rebellion, all of our sinfulness, how we run away from the presence of God. We're afraid of you. We misunderstand you. We don't even know who you are. And yet you still love us because you aren't what we think you are. You are what you really are. And I thank you, Lord God, that today this message has made us more and more clear, more and more in love, more and more peaceful in your presence, that no matter what we've done, how far we've run, where we've gone astray, you're still there. You're still seeking us. You'll give us a million chances until we finally get to the end. You'll send storms and whales and all kinds of things to win us back. Thank you, God, that your covenant is your covenant. It's not a covenant we made up. We don't even know that covenant. That's a covenant you declared to us from the outside. And I thank you, Lord, that you have covenanted today with us in this holy communion. Hallelujah. To say, come to my table. Come, if you're an enemy, come. I want enemies to come and eat. Take from me. Receive. For I am a loving father who has spread a table in the wilderness. I am a father who said, eat of my son. If you put your faith in him, you'll not be ashamed. And I thank you, Lord God, that we are not worthy to come to your table. We are not worthy to preach to Nineveh. We are not worthy to judge Jonah. We are not worthy of anything. But you have made us blessed. You have declared us beloved. You have sought us out in the depths of the sea, in the midst of the storm, on the road to rebellion. You have found us and said, that's all right. I'll take care of it. I told you what to do. I send you out. I'll give you character. I'll kill your flesh. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. And I'll make sure you do what I asked you to do. And I'll give you my glory. I will share my glory with you. I will share my glory, not by giving it to you, an outsider, but by making you an insider with me. I will adopt you. I have an adoption agency that takes you away from your natural parents and adopts you into the family of God and says, you're mine. You're mine forever. I'll never let anyone seize you away or take you away, for I am a good father. I love you. I love you. I love you. Father God, we love you. No one has ever loved us like you have. And I thank you this day that we have heard the story of Jonah. We want to know more. We want to know more about this remarkable man who ran from God, who lay asleep when the whole world was in trouble, who tried to escape his responsibility, but yet you sought him out. You didn't punish him. You saved him. You forgave him. You taught him. You were patient. What a God. What a God. No wonder the Ninevites repented at once when they heard the message and saw the messenger. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, and everyone said, Amen. God bless you. Amen.